Let us pause. Oh God, we thank you for the story that we have heard time and time again and how it has renewed meaning for us every year. May we once again receive of your power and your goodness and your glory as we hear again your words. May all that we say and do be glorifying to you, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Throughout his life on earth, people asked Jesus, "Who are you? Who are you really?" Remember back to his hearing before the crucifixion, he was interrogated by the high priest Caiaphas, and the priest said and asked him, "Are you the Christ, the Son of God?" Then during the trial, Judge Pontius Pilate posed the question, "Are you the King of the Jews? Who is this mystery man?" No one seems to know for certain. Even going back to the woman at the well, she said, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet." He seemed to know everything about her, and she had never met him before. In Matthew 16, Jesus put the question to the disciples, saying, "Who do people say that I am?" And the answer was so varied. Some say you're John the Baptist, others Elijah, others Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. But then Jesus said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" That's when Simon Peter answered, "You are Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God." But this was the same Peter who said three times, "I don't know him. I don't know who he is. I don't know what he's about." People had different perceptions of who he was, and we have different perceptions of who he was and who he is. Who do we see Jesus as today? Jesus is truly a man for all seasons, a man of many facets. He's complex, he's complicated, he's sophisticated, but yet at the same time, he's simple and humble and tranquil. In fact, a lot of us like to see him as the gentle, humble Jesus. We think of him preaching on the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are the meek and the poor, blessed are the peacemakers and the merciful." Jesus says, "Let the little children come to me. Peace I give to you." The gentle Jesus who washes the disciples' feet, who helps to calm us down, to ease our chaos and to bring peace. Jesus, the shepherd who leads us to the meadow, away from danger, away from stress, away from the rat race. Jesus leads us to that place of comfort and happiness, as the 23rd Psalm says. And then ultimately, Jesus will take us to heaven. Others like to see Jesus as an activist or as an agitator, or they like to see the angry Jesus. As the activist, he socialized with different people, outsiders, foreigners, strangers, outcasts, oppressed, ostracized. Jesus didn't seem to discriminate because he embraced different people. He reached out to them and he was in relationship with them. He mixed with lepers and tax collectors and ate with the worst of the worst. But at the same time, he had no patience for the hierarchy, the Pharisees and Sadducees. He gets angry with them. He chews out the Pharisees and says, "You brood of vipers, who warned you of the wrath to come?" Then remember, when he shows his emotions, he goes into the temple and he turns over the tables, says, "This is a house of prayer." Or what about the time when he cursed the fig tree for not bearing fruit? Jesus afflicts the comfortable and moves them to make a difference and calls them, community and society, to bring changes, a Jesus of justice. Others like to see him as a miracle worker. He healed the sick, restored the blind, made the lame to rise up and to walk, make the dumb to speak, cast out demons, and feed the multitudes, calling Lazarus from the tomb, setting the captives free. He quiets the storms and the violent sea. And they said, "Who is this that even the waves and the wind listen to him?" Jesus, the divine, full of power and might. Others like to see him as a teacher, a rabbi, or a philosopher, or parable storyteller. Jesus talks about sowing seeds and the mustard seed. Talks about the prodigal son and the lost coin and the good Samaritan. The vine and the branches. How difficult it is for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Kingdom of God is like yeast and wedding feasts and this sage and spiritual wisdom dispenser. Jesus challenges the intellect and encourages us to think and reflect and examine life. So before the crucifixion, they saw him in a certain way. But now he's risen, he's victorious, and he has conquered death. See a different Jesus. Which Jesus do we see? Which Jesus do you identify with? When Mary Magdalene and Mary, the other Mary, went to the grave, they were expecting not to see the risen Lord. They were just going to see the grave. They were going to see a dead body. In Mark and Luke's version, it says that they were bringing spices. They were just going to make his body smell nicer, preserve the body, and prepare it for final burial and ritual. Because his life was over, he died. And this visit was an act of closure. Grief and tears. The death was final and permanent, and end of chapter, end of story, it's over. But what they experienced was more than what they could imagine. They encountered a great surprise. They saw something supernatural and miraculous. When they got there, an earthquake erupted, and an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and rolled away the stone right before them and sat on the stone. He was like lightning, and his clothes were bright as snow. What did they see? They saw what was beyond their expectations. After all, they were just expecting death. It must have been terrifying and dramatic and beautiful all at the same time. It was earth-shattering and death-defying and life-changing. And the angel said, "Don't be afraid. You're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's no longer here. He's risen. Go and tell the disciples. He is going ahead of you. You will see him." Why have we come this morning? We want to see the risen Christ. We want to experience the risen Jesus. We want to praise God and give glory to the Lord. And according to this account in Matthew, their experience transcended all other experiences of Jesus. What they found was a great surprise. What they found was a great miracle and great power and great beauty. When we follow Jesus, we can believe that there will be some great surprise for us, that we will have great miracles and great power and great beauty in our life when we believe and when we seek out Jesus, unlike any other experience before, beyond our expectations. We can expect that Jesus will exceed our wild imaginations in terms of power, in terms of meaning and beauty. But I like the part that it says that the resurrected Jesus has gone ahead of you. Meaning for us that sometime down the road, the Lord is gone ahead of us. The Lord will meet us and greet us down the road. God knows. God knows our future. God knows our path. God prepares our path. And God goes before us to meet us and greet us at some appointed time, or maybe several times. Because God cares and God knows us intimately. And so what happens when we meet him and greet him? I guess we'll find out. I guess what the passage says is that it is yet to be known what God has in store for us, and it is yet to be discovered. Life leads to discovery and discovery of newness and hope. And what we know is that this life will not end, nor will it ever end, because death has been conquered and we have been changed. We shall be changed and transformed for the better, and it shall exceed anything that we can comprehend. And we will be on the course for completion and fulfillment. Well, we say, how is this possible when we expect the tomb, when we expect death, when we expect despair and depression? It is real because Jesus is the Christ. He is the Son of the living God. And that there is power, there is meaning, there is beauty. He shall surpass expectations, and we shall continue on that eternal journey, this never-ending journey. It can happen because he is risen, because he is resurrected, and there is hope. And we are forgiven, and we are free. Hallelujah. Amen.